Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for blessing us today with your presence. And thank you, Father, for blessing us today with your presence. And thank you for coming to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for cleaning up your house, Lord. Oh, what an awesome revelation we have today. Thank you, Father, for this. And thank you for putting it in the heart of your saints to be cleaned up for this manifestation of your coming. Amen. All right, saints. I got a wonderful revelation to share with you here. It's several different revelations together, but they fit so beautifully. Again, this is in our series, Bride Rewarded, Factious, and Apostates Judged. This is number 6. And the first revelation here was given to Vanessa Weeks, and we called it Beware of False Jesus and His False Christians. And that was back in February the 12th, 2019, that she received this. She said, I had this dream, and it was really intense. A man was taking me and showing me a place where it seemed like a war was going on. Well, a war is going on constantly for the souls of God's people. And factious people are making war against the Christians in every way that they can. And Vanessa said, I saw an old lady sitting in the passenger front seat of a white van. The white van represents her knowledge of the way of righteousness. But she's also masquerading as righteous in this revelation, which they do. She was thin, meaning not nourished by the word, and had short brown hair. Short hair is, of course, a sign of no submission to the husband, meaning in this case, Christ, as 1 Corinthians 11 speaks about hair being a submission to the husband. Brown here represents submission to evil. The brown shirts of Hitler came to my mind when I read this, and they were of course submitted to his war against the Christians and the Jews. Many people don't know, but he killed twice as many Christians as he did Jews, and that's never hardly mentioned. I think it was like 13 million, and the Jews were 6 million. And we are spiritual Jews too, so that fits too, because we're circumcised in heart. The Word of God is that sword that circumcises us, separates us from sowing the flesh, right? Something came from nowhere and struck her, and her head came off and rolled to the right side of the van. It seemed like a directed energy weapon, and the van was on fire. It's interesting the thoughts you have in a dream, you know. There's many keys there. You know, the directed energy weapon is a favorite of the deep state faction who, like Hitler, are making war on the Christians and the Jews. The church faction works with them. This is their parallel. The deep state burned down Paradise, California, with these weapons where were many Christians. We have been shown many dreams and visions that the deep state will judge the faction. So there you have it. It fits pretty good, doesn't it? The van burning up represents their knowledge of the correct way did them no good and was taken from them, just like the head rolling away to the right? They lost it. They lost the renewed mind completely. James 4:17 says, to him therefore that knoweth, that's knowledge, that's in the head, right, to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And, you know, by the way, these people have received a lot of knowledge and turned against all of it. Luke 12:48, but he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And to whomsoever much is given, of him will much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him will they ask the more. So if you have more knowledge of things that are right and you turn against it, you're more guilty. Hebrews 10:26, you know, if you once you come to the knowledge of the truth and turn away from it, it's willful disobedience and it will be punished. And Vanessa said, when I remembered this part of the dream, it was really scary to me because this was very realistic. Yes, and a lot, the Lord likes to emphasize truth in that way. And there's many stern warnings here, but also promises that we will see. She said, then I was taken by this man into a house where some Christians were, but I didn't know. So she didn't know who they were. They were worshiping to a song about the name of Jesus. And the anointing was very strong, and I was also worshiping and raising my hands to the Lord. It was very powerful and real. And I thought, when Jesus comes, will he be called Jesus? Well, Jesus comes to us all the time, and we don't necessarily recognize him as the name of Jesus, but his nature is in the people that come to us in his name, right? So she said, when Jesus comes, will he be called Jesus? So I would say before the tribulation, Jesus is coming in his people by spirit and word before he comes for his people at the end of the tribulation. That's kind of him, right? I mean, who is going to be ready? No one ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Jesus must be seen in us before the Lord can take us to that place. All right? Hosea 6:3. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Pay attention. He's not coming in the skies to rapture anybody away. He's coming in his people by the latter rain. He will be seen in the first fruits like he lived in the early disciples. John 13:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Matthew 25:40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these least, my brethren, even these least, you did it unto me. Oh, so people come to us, you know, with different names, but Jesus lives in them, and it is Jesus. So her question, when Jesus comes, will he be called Jesus? He'd be called a lot of names, you know. But they're all abiding in the name, which is the nature, character, and authority. That's what name means. So you know, they didn't expect Jesus to come the way he came. The Pharisees didn't. And it's going to happen the same way. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Then I heard the Lord say in a loud voice, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever body he comes in, let me say, it's going to be like the first Jesus, the same Jesus, right? If one comes to you to teach you professing to be Christian, examine his fruit, his ways, and his power. John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. There you have it. That's what a believer does. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. That's what believers do. They have power, right? And Mark 16:17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, that is demons, as we can see further down. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Okay, we just need to believe, right? That's real Christianity there. What we've seen around us is not. Then Vanessa said, we were in a dining room standing by a round dining table, and one of the Christian men said, Jesus is coming. And he said he met him. We were all excited when he said this because we knew he was in the house and coming to the dining room where we were. We started praising the Lord, and I was so excited and expectant to see Jesus, to see the Lord. It was like he was walking down the hall, and I would see him any minute. I wanted to see him the first second I could, so I sat on the table so I could see him right when he came in, because there were people in front of me. I can't explain the feeling of expectation I had, and it seemed to take a long time for him to arrive. Let me say that many believe Jesus is physically coming at the beginning of the tribulation, but they are deceived and will be deceived, because Matthew 24, 23 through 26 says this, Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is the Christ, or here, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. If therefore they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the wilderness, go not forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, believe it not. Name means nature, character, and authority. So John 5 and 43 says, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, his own nature, character, and authority. In other words, what was the exhortation? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Him you will receive. Yes, many people have come to be the anointed. They've claimed to have the anointing, which is what? Christos, Christ, false Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 and 4, For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we did not preach, the same nature, character, and authority, right? Or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you bear well with him. Now that last phrase there, I put it in the numeric. You bear well with him. And that's wrong, of course. Not a good thing to bear well with somebody who's supposedly bringing you into the image of Christ, and he doesn't look like Christ. Okay? Then he came in where we could see him. I got down from the table because I thought, this is Jesus. I have to be respectful. Everyone was cheering. And when it got quiet, the man who was supposed to be Jesus said, I want you all to stop growing up. Now, they don't say that with their mouth, but they teach you that, you know. You don't need to grow up. And Vanessa said, this is not the voice of Jesus. And Barry Weeks, her husband, wrote this note. He said, I think this may be the confusion between being childlike to enter the kingdom, which Jesus taught, and being childish, as the word strongly teaches against. The false leaders are not interested in the maturing of the saints, as taught in God's word, as Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says. It says that you may be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight or trickery of men, in craftiness after the wiles of error. Yes. after the wiles of error. He was looking around at us in a prideful way as if to say, look at me, aren't I something? He had a plastic type face that reminded me of the Burger King man. In other words, a fake Jesus and Christian. And I thought, wait a minute, this man would not look at me, but he was looking at others. I thought, if this is Jesus, he would know me and my thoughts, but he did not. And John 16:3 says, and these things will they do because they have not known the Father nor me. Yeah. So she got suspicious that this was a fake Jesus coming to the people of God. And after I woke up and thought on this dream, I asked the Lord for a dream to help me understand what he is saying in this dream. And I fell back to sleep and had this short dream. I saw a man at the round kitchen table looking at a laptop computer. He said, as if to himself, unless I put my hands in his nail prints and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Well, let me say, when you're looking at the real Jesus, you don't have to doubt. But when you're looking at fake Jesus, you may have to do some calculating, you know. She said, I thought this means that we should not believe in a false Jesus, but the one that bears the marks of the crucified Christ. That's reverse of what most people think only about this verse, but it's so true. You know, Galatians 6:17, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear branded in my body the marks of Jesus. So we too will have the revelation of the manifestation of the crucified Christ living in us, right? And also when Jesus came to Thomas, who was doubting Thomas, Thomas wanted proof of the resurrected Christ, and Jesus had him examine the proof. Now, this may be a little area of that verse you haven't thought of, but it's kind of cool, I think. Yes, we need to examine the proof if this person is Christ or not, right? She said, this was such an intense dream, and the feeling of expectancy stayed with me for a long time. And I was disappointed and wondered why he gave me a dream so exciting to then end up so disappointing. And I asked for a word on what, let me say that a lot of Christians will be like that. They are expecting to see Jesus at any minute. But let me tell you, if he shows up in the flesh right now, I'm not talking about the flesh of his saints, I'm talking about in the natural right now, if he shows up, he's not the one. Don't go and look. I asked for a word on what the Lord wanted to say about this dream and received by faith at random, 2 Corinthians 13:4, and in context 2-6. I have said beforehand, and I do say beforehand, as when I was present the second time, so now being absent, to them that have sinned heretofore, and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare, seeing that you seek a proof of Christ that speaketh in me. There you go. Who to you ward is not weak, but is powerful in you. For he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth through the power of God. So he was crucified, but he now lives in his saints, right? We are the body of Christ. That's who lives in the body of Christ. To the extent he lives in you, to that extent you're the body of Christ. To the extent he doesn't live in you, you're not the body of Christ. It's just that simple. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him through the power of God towards you. Try your own selves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves, or know you not, as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you be reprobate. But I hope that you shall know that we are not reprobate. Well, notice, the proof of Christ in a person is power in weakness, which is a crucified person. That's pretty awesome. She said, I'm thankful to the Father for giving me this dream, which I feel is a warning for me not to be fooled by a false Jesus. Amen. I agree. And she says, help me, Lord, to keep my eyes on you and die daily so I will live through your power and not be fooled by anyone or anything. Father, please help all of your people to know you in your word so that we come into your image and discern the true and the false. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John 1, 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. We shall be sons of God. That's different, right? We know that if he shall be manifested, speaking about being in us, right? We shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And every one that hath this hope set on himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Look at that. He purifieth himself even as he is pure. Wow. Notice, Jesus is coming manifested in his purified people. And the worldly will not recognize him in them. Thank you, Father, she says. Now, let's look at Eve Brass' dream. It's about the bride feeding the multitudes. And there's revelation here that fits right perfectly with this dream. So, I dreamed that I was standing high up on a steep embankment to the right of a red brick building. I was looking out upon an ocean scene, peoples of the world, where the harlot is what this is talking about, this ocean, right? Revelation 17 and 5 says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So she said that this ocean scene was merged with a huge field of tall dead grass. In other words, as the ocean waves moved, so did the grass, right? You know, and Peter said, all flesh is as grass. So the ocean is, of course, the fleshly people, and the grass is the fleshly people, meaning the fleshly, spiritually dead people, right? Which could mean be people in the so-called church or out of it, right? So she said, that is Eve, a type of the bride of the last Adam. Remember, Adam's bride was Eve, right? And so Jesus' bride here is being typed as Eve. Okay? So, I was separated from this scene by a tall chain-link fence. In parenthesis, the ocean merged with the field represents the peoples of the earth, and the fence represents sanctification of those separated from them. And I might add, separated from their judgment. Okay? As I was looking down upon the ocean / field, I watched all the solid black cattle and their calves wandering around the field is the world, right? Starving and mooing and looking for food. Well, we know starvation is coming. We know that famine is coming. They're sowing the seeds of it now. They're doing their best to destroy the food, the crops. Many worldly people were not being fed the true word of God, she says. So they remain black with their sins. Yes, and worldly can represent people in the body of Christ or people out of the body of Christ, right? And I might add that physical starvation is coming to the worldly church, which feeds on grass, like that cow, or flesh, and feeds their calves only milk. Okay? Remember my vision about the old cow being moved out of the way so that the power of God could come through? Well, there it's in here. It's very interesting. And Eve said, I felt sorry for them, and I wished I could feed them something. Yes, it's so true. People are caught up in the harlot church, and they don't know it. And some will come out, because he says, come ye out from among them and be separate, right? Some will not. So she wanted to feed them something. And yes, they will be fed. The elect among them will be fed. Suddenly I held out my palm, and a small bale of hay appeared in my right hand. I threw it as hard as I could over the fence, expecting it to land on the embankment and hopefully roll down the hill and make it to the edge of the water on the beach. And she has in parenthesis, representing a supernatural revival coming from the first fruits of the harvest to the rest of God's people who are trapped in dead religion and in their sins. And I might add also that the apostates of Jesus' day were physically fed by him too. And he multiplied the fishes and the loaves too, didn't he? Mm-hmm. But as I threw it, it went supernaturally far and landed in the middle of the part of the field that I could see. Then I watched as it grew. There it is, multiplication. I watched as it grew into a huge round bale of hay, and all the cattle migrated over to it with their calves and began feeding on it. So God will multiply our seed for sowing, the gospel in these end times, Eve said. And I also could add that we see here that the bride will feed many apostates spiritually and physically, just as Jesus multiplied the food to the multitudes, right? Amen. This is why we're getting holy. You can't feed something that is holy without being holy. You can't give something away that you don't have. So this is why the bride is about to be rewarded for all of her struggles, to be holy and also to feed holiness to the people, right? Then almost immediately I saw a large, evil, quote, strong man, unquote, dressed like a farmer with overalls and a straw hat, riding a huge orange tractor down the beach, almost like he was patrolling it. And he was shouting warnings for people to stay off of his property. I'll also add to you in a book about hell, I'm forgetting the name of it, there was a large man like this who was a farmer. And he was the beast, but you know the beast is manifested of the devil, and he's full of the devil, right? So, anyway, Eve said, this farmer is the devil who has authority in the world currently and keeps the people in the world in bondage to himself. He guards them jealously, and the orange tractor is the color of danger. And I might add also that he is the devil in the dragon body who wars with the people of God And in their deep state parallel is destroying the breadbasket with weather warfare. So the signs are physical and spiritual. They are coming. The faction in whom the devil lives tries to keep the people away from the food, destroying it whenever possible, like our site and the videos were taken down by them temporarily. And, of course, I told them, you destroyed God's people's food. Well, it don't faze them. They're so demon-possessed, they don't understand. I was concerned that he would know that I had fed his cattle, but he did not even see me. So God will supernaturally protect us from the enemy as we spread his word in the earth. Praise be to God. And then I woke up, she said. And Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 6. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, yea, even unto eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Yes, you need to sow the seed while you can sow the seed. There'll be times when it'll be much harder to sow the seed and might cost people's lives to do it. Okay? If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. I think that's just a way to say, however a person dies, will decide where they will be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. There's lots of reasons why people don't sow, so that they can reap later. Right? But you have to sow when you can sow to make sure that you get something later, right? In other words, pay no attention to the windy resistors of God's word. Just sow. As thou knowest not what is the way of the wind, or how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, in other words, the fruit of Jesus grows in his elect by his word. Even so thou knowest not the work of God who doeth all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not which shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Yes, you go by many fields and you sowed seed in all of it, but some parts are sparse and some parts are not. And of course, you sow seed out there among men and you just let God decide who it is that's going to receive his word, because he that's of God hears the words of God, right? Okay, one more revelation here. And it's powerful. It's called the Clean Large House, given to Eve Brast on 5/21/19. I dreamed that I was outside of my father's land with the two mobile homes. I was standing midway on the long gravel driveway in between the entrance to the land and the two mobile homes. It was morning time around 9 a.m. and sunny outside, and I was helping my dad clean up all the junk metal off of the property. Well, you know, our father and the bride are cleaning up his property, right? She said, in real life, my dad ran a scrap metal operation on his land when I was growing up. Used 49 times in Scripture, the number 9 symbolizes divine completeness or conveys the meaning of finality. Christ died on the 9th hour of the day, or 3 p.m., to make the way of salvation open to everyone. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, is the only one of God's annual feast days of worship that requires believers to fast for one day. This special day, considered by many Jews to be the holiest of the year, begins at sunset on the 9th day of the 7th Hebrew month. That's Leviticus 23 and 32. 9 also represents the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, which are faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, joy, kindness, long-suffering, love, peace, and self-control. Galatians 5:22 and 23. I was dressed in a white T-shirt and blue jeans and was wearing a ball cap and work gloves. And my dad, representing the father, had on a multicolored plaid shirt and jeans, and he too was wearing work gloves. Jesus said, I work and my father works. The work gloves protected our hands from getting cut up by all the sharp metal that had become marred and twisted from my dad's scrapping procedures that he did to strip and clean the metal so that he could take them to the scrap yards for smelting. But now he was done with the business and wanted to restore the land by getting all the metal off of it. And she said, this represents separating metals from metals so that their value is higher. And now the father is finished with the cleaning up process and is ready to take it all to the scrap yard, not only to restore the land for its original purpose of planting, but to redeem the value of the metal and receive a return on all of his hard work. Amen. So he's separating the good from the bad and this kind from that kind. I heard a loud gas tanker coming up the road on an 18-wheeler, obviously, and I looked and I saw it turning into our driveway. It was coming through an old covered wooden bridge that was over a creek that separated our land from the road. And this, of course, wasn't so in real life. That part wasn't there, right? And she said, this is representing the water of the word separating God's people from the world. Yep, that, I think that's right. The man driving the tanker truck was a friend of my dad's. And he was dressed in a blue service uniform, blue like heavenly. And the hat that matched the color of the truck, which was solid blue, even the tank, all heavenly, right? And I believe this man represents the Holy Spirit bringing his power to the land and the bride. Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So he pulled the truck up to the mobile homes and got out as my dad greeted him and shook his hand. My dad had ordered a refill on his gas tank that looked like a small white butane tank that you could use for a barbecue grill. Okay, so the fire, first of all, the tank enforces and makes capable the fire that sacrifices the flesh, the barbecue grill, right? The man unwound a large black rubber hose from the truck and dragged it up to the covered porch of the mobile homes. In other words, to pour out the power, right? The covering that my dad had built over the large concrete porch had a dividing wall that supported the covering and separated the two mobile homes. There is a separation between the two mobile homes because the left side mobile home was represented has represented the rebellious faction in other dreams. And so she goes on to say, there was a doorway, though, through which you could pass through to get from one side of the porch to the other. This was so in real life. The man met my dad over on the left front of the porch, and they refilled the small white tank. That is the pure, I believe, will be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire, the white tank, right? My dad thanked the man, and he wound the hose back onto the truck and backed out of the driveway. She said, Father is filling up the tank for a barbecue for the left side mobile home, which represents God's rebellious people. So, I mean, you know, what is judgment upon the wicked is crucifixion for the righteous. It makes the righteous more pure. It judges the wicked. because they are fleshly. And if you walk after the flesh, you must die. Okay. Then my dad went into the right side mobile home, and I walked the rest of the way up the driveway and followed him inside. I think this means our father and the bride will be in the right side tabernacle, which is a mobile home, a portable home, is it not? And when I got inside, the mobile home was the size of a double wide on the inside, even though it looked like a single wide on the outside. So you know, we look like that. I mean, we just look like the normal human, like Jesus did. They took him for his humanity, but didn't pay much attention to who lived inside that humanity. Right? The ceilings were much higher, too. In other words, the larger place, house, representing blessing, growth, freedom, greater ministry, more people, etc. The whole inside had been refurbished and looked brand new, which reminds me of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And boy, is he about to give an awesome ministry of reconciliation to his holy people. She said everything was so clean and cleaner than possible in real life. This represents the larger house or larger place in God that the Lord is bringing us into. Yes, amen. The living room and kitchen were open and only partially separated by a kitchen countertop made of marble. I saw a huge mural painted on the kitchen wall of the saints with halos above their head. Well, that's recognized, of course, as a holy person, right? They were dressed in all colors of the rainbow, and they were holding lit candles and worshiping the Lord. And she says, this house is prepared for the true saints of God. Yes, I believe it. The many colors represent the godly attributes of light or Christ, like the candles, you know, because when you take a prism and you break down the light, it comes into all these beautiful colors. Many have fallen away as tares bundled together and represent those who have had their candles removed. Revelation 2:5. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I come to thee and will move thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Mm-hmm. My dad seemed to be merged with a white-haired man, and he was sweeping the kitchen floor with an old broom. So her father, the white-haired man, right? This is the white-haired man that showed up in many of our dreams, who is the father, who is cleaning up his house by sweeping out the wicked, as he said, I will sweep it with the besom, which is broom, of destruction. I will sweep it with the besom of destruction. He went on to say, I was so impressed with how new and clean everything looked and how big the inside was. I knew in the dream that the man was sweeping up the last little pile of dirt before the house would be totally cleaned, and we would be able to completely move into it. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, the reward to the bride for a holy life is what we're seeing here. When the dirt, tares, goats, and all the trash is removed, right? Amen. And what came to me was Isaiah 14:19-23. But thou art cast forth away from thy sepulchre like an abominable branch, clothed with the slain, that are thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a dead body trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land, and they have destroyed their land. Thou hast slain thy people. Yes, they have. The seed of evildoers shall not be named forever. Prepare ye slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they rise not up and possess the earth. See, God doesn't want the wicked sowing any seed for him. And fill the face of the world with cities. I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon name and remnant, and son and son's son, saith the Lord. Who was the god of Babylon? It was the dragon. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine. You know, that's porcupine Christians, you know. You don't get close to them, you get stabbed. And pools of water, I will sweep it with the besom or broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. I walked past the kitchen and noticed a smile on the man's face as he continued to sweep the kitchen floor. He seemed to be amused at how easily impressed I was. Yes, he's doing an impressive work, right? And when I got into the narrow hallway, I noticed a golden floor vent that the air conditioning went through, and I saw two little mice standing near the vent, and they scattered in fear when they saw me. I was perturbed that the mice were in the house, and I wondered why. Further below, I found that the cats weren't doing their jobs. The mice represented little beasts or sin that has not been dealt with. Right, right. There were three large rooms to the left. That's where the goats go, right? Of the hallway, and I opened the door to the first room and saw two dressers lining the walls. I then saw a black cat with greenish-yellow eyes. Well, you know, cats are kind of self-willed, and this one is definitely demon-possessed. It hissed at me hatefully and ran out of the room and out of the house. That's kind of what they do. Their hate drives them from the bride. It had been hiding in the room and seemed feral. Yeah, they are wild and untamed by the word. But they're leaving, so that's a plus. In the real life, we had a feral black cat that lived under the left mobile home. You know, God sets everything up from the beginning to be a parable, doesn't he? You might not find out about it for a while, but ultimately do. I felt sorry for it when I was a child and would leave food for it out on the porch, but it never became tame and always ran away from us. It lived under there for years, and we still fed it. And then one day it must have died because we didn't see it anymore. And she says, this cat represents a rebellious person that has been hiding and is now being exposed. Or it could represent a group of people in the larger house, right? So that room was cleansed too. And after this, I went into the next room and saw boxes, piles of stuff, and a tan swivel rocker along the far wall of the room. There was a cat box sitting on top of the swivel rocker, because they go round and round in their circle, right? That was full of litter and hadn't been cleaned in a while. So I take from that the unclean will not dwell in God's house. Numbers 19 and 20. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water for impurity hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And he does just that. He's been doing that very strongly since around 2010, 2011. He's been doing that very strongly. I saw an orange tabby male and a gray female with faded patches of color on her coat. these three cats were lazy and had not killed the mice in the house. In other words, they had not killed their beastly flesh. They weren't doing their jobs. She said the tan swivel rocker represents going around and around and up and down infection. Right as I walked in, I caught the male pooping on the floor next to the chair. And I yelled at him, "No!" and ran over and grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and punished him for pooping in the house. And I went and threw him outside. Yes. The cats are, I believe, types of people who are foreigners in our larger house of UBM. This is proven by their nature that they fall into. Then when I came back into the house, I noticed that my dad had rebuilt the doorway and the entryway and had made it more ornate and much narrower. Ah, a person had to enter much more carefully now. So this represents that the house gets cleaner, the entrance gets more narrow for those trying to enter in. She gives Luke 13:24, "Strive to enter in by the narrow door, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able." And I add Isaiah 52:1, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." Then she said, "I grabbed some white paper towels from the kitchen to go and clean up the cat poop. And all the while, the man steadily kept sweeping the kitchen floor." I believe the process of getting rid of the cats and cleaning up their mess is synonymous with the father sweeping up the last little bit of dirt in the kitchen. As I entered this is encouraging, isn't it? "As I entered the second room again, I saw that the female cat was scared because she saw that I did what I did to the male, and she jumped up into the litter box and began frantically digging the litter down to the bottom of the box." Well, you don't want to do that. That's about nasty as you can get, right? But she hung her hind end over the edge of the litter box and pooped in the same place where the male cat had. So birds of a feather flock together, don't they? I yelled at her, "No!" And then she ran in fear out of the house. I was so disgusted with having to clean up all that cat poop and upset that they messed in such a beautiful and clean house. But, let me say, they left the house. And I went into the kitchen and got a white trash bag and took it to the second room and cleaned up the poop and threw it into the trash along with the litter box and all of its contents. Now, we're not going to have no more cats here. It was such a messy job, I couldn't wait to throw it out of the house and wash my hands. I was complaining to the man sweeping the floor as I went to throw the trash bag into the can on the porch. And as I was walking towards the front door, the man was angry and disappointed at the cats and said to me, quote, "I guess I'll have to take away their reward," unquote. He said this with sadness as he finally grabbed the dustpan and swept the last little pile of dirt into it to toss it outside. John 15:6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." And then I woke up. Well, the bride is a great reward, and they have a great reward. So don't miss it, saints. Many will not even have the least reward and will be cast out into outer darkness. Our job is 2 Corinthians 7:1. "Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Oh, that was a good one. I like that. Well, it sounds like we're getting closer to getting cleaned up enough that he would call that the bride and delivering us from all evil and evil people. Praise be to God. Thank you so much, Lord, for this goodness to us. And we thank you for this encouragement, Lord, that we are coming to the end of this trail. And we know that in the worldly parallel, that also that's getting cleaned up. Mr. Trump is working hard to kick out all the trash, you know, and drain the swamp and flush the toilet, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you, Father, for your good works and cleaning up your body. And it is just awesome, Lord. You are, who can make this stuff up? It's just awesome. All right, saints, God bless you, and thank you for joining us today. And Father, we just ask you to bless Michael and the brethren that join with him today, and pour out your spirit upon them and bless them mightily, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, all right, saints, God bless you and keep you. Good night.